Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You guys know how supporting local business is in our blood. We're super excited to tell you about Denver Rubber Company, and it may not be what you think it is. Denver Rubber Company is the most reliable local partner for your long-term projects. Since 1972, Denver Rubber Company has provided the highest quality of products, from custom die-cut gaskets, molded rubber, to custom manufacturing and custom hoses. And they really do make a ton of stuff. AJ and I were in there, and they were just cutting out some basic plastic panels. And they say they make like 3,000 of them a week. So they pump out a ton of units if that's what you need.
Yeah. Shout out to that guy who does that every single week. Like, I would love to know what podcasts he listens to get through the every day.
Yeah. He needs a few podcasts, I'm sure, to make it through. But DRC offers innovative solutions to serve a diverse line of industries, including aerospace, pharmaceutical, construction, medical, military, electronics, and many others as well. As an ISO-certified company, they will work with you from design to final product, and that will be both cost-effective and will meet your requirements. If you're in need of custom design, material selection for your project, or have a deadline to make for a large order, don't hesitate to call Denver Rubber Company. You can call them today at 1-800-259-0010 or visit them at drcfirst.com/DNVR and tell them who sent you.
And Cole gets another good righty and another right by Cole. A left by Cole this time. Tipped in front by Mika Rantanen. He shoots and scores. Nathan MacKinnon. Call J.T. Comfer, 877 goes now. Gabriel Landeskog, collective hugs, 29-92. Save me by Grubauer. Move over, Picasso. This piece of art is by MacKinnon. My goodness gracious.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast. It is Thursday. It is the first snow of the season. I'm Nathan Rudolph. He's AJ Hafley. We are presented by The Green Solution. You can visit any one of their 17 Colorado locations and use their express checkout to get you in and out as fast as possible. Or you can get on your phone right now, go to their website, mygreensolution.com, order your flower, concentrates, edibles, and topicals online, and head to the closest Green Solution for pickup. Use code DNBR20 for 20% off your entire purchase. Okay, news of the day. The Avs did have a little bit of a presser down in Colorado Springs, just kind of announcing a couple of things about their Stadium Series game at the Air Force Academy. We got the logo reveal for the events and not a ton else, but still exciting as we inch closer to this game against LA.
Is it exciting?
I mean,
is it exciting that they picked the day? First of all, you picked a terrible day to do this.
No,
not even weather-wise. Weather-wise, it just ended up being bad. That's the chance you take in Colorado. So that's whatever. But the Avs have been off for 3 days. Like, you guys had to they had to pick the morning of a game to do this. They couldn't have done this yesterday. And all these people have just been in town. Like, it's so It was so frustrating when they sent out this advisory about this this presser today, because people were having to pick. All right, am I going to go cover morning skate on a game day? Am I going to drive down to the Springs to do that? Like, what's important here? And oddly enough, it turned out neither ended up important. The logo reveal of the Stadium Series is almost irrelevant. And the only lineup changes that are coming to the Avs lineup tonight, we knew about yesterday.
Very true. So Barbs would be in, and that's confirmed now.
Yeah, exactly. So it was like, okay, well,
it is what great. We thought it was.
Yeah, straight up. Like, these early season lulls in the schedule are awful, man.
Yep, just not too much interesting going on in that regard. Yeah. I will say, you got to feel good that the Avs have a chance to win this one. They're 0-1 in Stadium Series games. Play in LA. You know,
they won the game that mattered.
Yeah, they won the old-timers game.
Yeah, so they won the alumni game where all the hatred existed. They should have won the regular game, but Varley forgot to show up that day. Really, I'm not... I've spent almost no time thinking about the Stadium Series this year.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, because there isn't really any connection between the Avs and LA at all. It's... Obviously, right. The Stadium Series is a big deal, and it's nice to have a game like that, but there isn't the history behind this one.
Well, and, like, two teams on totally opposite sides of the spectrum right now.
That as well, yeah.
You know, like, you've got one of the up-and-coming teams, and then you've got a team that just bottomed out last year. And early returns this year doesn't look a whole lot better.
Right. So, very two different levels to work with there, and... any game, you never know, it could be a great game regardless, especially with even more randomness of it being an outdoor game. But the storylines haven't really revealed themselves yet, to say the least.
That's a great way to put it, honestly, because right now when we look at that game, it's just like, well, it's a game that's taking place outdoors at a football stadium in Colorado Springs.
That's pretty much all there is to it at the moment.
Cool. It does look awesome. Like, and if anybody's ever been down to AFA, it's beautiful down there, and the stadium is awesome, and the sights will certainly be something that everybody takes away from that. Hopefully that's a nice day though, and not 15 degrees and snowy.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if it was just a nicer day. 45. Doesn't need to be like 65 degrees and sunny where the ice is melting and the playing surface is god awful. I'm not asking for that.
Like last time.
Just for a nice day. A nice Colorado winter day.
Well, as long as they don't put down fake snow all over the field that ends up just blowing around the stadium, it'll be an improvement. But
yeah, that boy. I think that might have been like the thing that everybody remembers more than the actual result of the game.
Yeah. Just the disaster of everything around it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, Stadium Series games, regardless of the teams going in, at least for me, are always fun. And I always like to have a few beers when I'm watching one of those. So it's time to acknowledge Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. Breckenridge is the original Colorado beer established in 1990. You've obviously heard me talk about Strawberry Sky, Vanilla Porter, Oatmeal Stout by now. I just keep going through all of their beers. I'm already waiting for like their winter one to come through, since I've already tried their autumn one. I don't even know what it'll be, but I want to get my hands on it already. Or you can always stick with their classics, like the Avalanche Amber Ale. Super easy to drink. You really can't go wrong with any of their beers, as I always say. Would recommend any type of them. Even if you're picky, I guarantee they'll have at least one beer that you'll like. So look for them at your local liquor store, or check out the Breckenridge event calendar on thednvr.com. We'll be having a bunch of watch parties with a ton of Breck beer at them, so come out and have a few with us and have a good time. Okay, the Stadium Series game, still a long way off. Hopefully, by then, unless something goes horribly wrong, there is a way for most of Colorado to actually watch the Colorado Avalanche. As it stands right now, Game 3 is tonight. Altitude still has not resolved their situation with the big three TV providers. Not really on the airwaves for most people. They did go and do some interviews the other day. Doesn't sound like things are particularly close.
Yeah, they did a little mini media blitz yesterday. I say mini because it was on all of their own radio
stations. Yeah.
So if you weren't paying attention to that one station, then, you know,
yep,
you don't know anything about it. But they had the guy in charge of the negotiations from the business side of Altitude was on their radio stations yesterday talking about the negotiations and basically crying poor.
Yep.
And, you know, given some of the details that they released, I don't necessarily blame them. You know, they said that the economic terms were unacceptable and that two of the deals offered of the big three would have been 50% less, and one of them was 70% less than the previous deal.
Well, they even came back on the other side, right? And they said, look, we'll even no increase. We'll take a flat rate for the first year and deal with whatever term you want. And yeah, all of them still said no.
Yep. And that they just have not done. The big three are basically trying to squeeze out the little guy here. And I know that the Kroenkes own, you know, and the Kroenke family has an insane amount of money and they own tons of different things. But this is not, you know, rich people don't just sit here and hemorrhage money.
Right. It's, you know, not
just they because they can't
billionaires by doing this.
So that's and obviously this is somebody that's a biased source, so you have to understand that going in.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, this is there, one side is coming out and saying this is what's happening and the other side isn't saying a word.
Right. So it's the only side of the story that we have to go off of.
Exactly. Basically. And they're saying, hey, they're trying to squeeze us out. And they have reason to, you know, because Comcast and DirecTV each own and operate their own regional sports networks. So why do they want to, if they can come together and they can squeeze out one of the few independents in the entire sports landscape in North America, why not do that so that one of them ends up absorbing the properties that Altitude would give up if Altitude folds?
Right. It's all about the almighty dollar for them.
Right. And I mean, obviously this all comes down to money. This is millionaires trying the, you know, splitting up, fighting over how to split up the pile of money that they're talking about here. And that obviously is not going to get sympathy from any, from the masses. I don't think it's worked. The Altitude KSE.
Yeah, not at all.
Get the fans to fight the war for us. People have called. The people who were going to call have called.
Right. At this point, they're just dead in the water.
The people who have canceled, you know, who were going to cancel and take Altitude's side on this have done that. There's nobody sitting in the middle of this argument anymore. And for this to continue on, I mean, I'm Team Altitude. I don't want people losing their jobs. I guess that's really it. I don't want people to lose their jobs. I like the idea that the Kroenkes have their own little setup here in Denver, that they have their own little shop and that it's not, they're not giving in to, you know, these companies that are essentially trying to create a monopoly on regional sports networks. I like that the Kroenkes have their own little setup here in Denver, because I think that's a good way to ensure that the more the Kroenkes invest in things here in Colorado, the less we ever have to worry about these teams leaving.
Yeah, exactly. They want to build up, they want to build up the infrastructure. They already have built up much of the infrastructure to maintain the teams here. And I mean, let's face it, the diehard fans have found ways to watch the games, whether that's going to the one bar in town that falls under CenturyLink or Spectrum or whatever.
Yeah.
The casual fans are the ones that are not getting eyes on the product because of this, and they're not going to go out of their way to find it.
Right. They want to, and like the older generation as well, they want to just sit down, flip it on, and have it just be there because that's how it's always worked.
Right.
You know, they're not, you're not convincing older people to mess with VPNs and nonsense like that.
Yeah, exactly. So
at the same time, though, everybody that just says, oh, we'll just set up a streaming service, like, you got to listen to them when they say it's not viable.
Yeah, I do certainly believe that it's not viable in its current form. Certainly not if they need to set up their own infrastructure, especially.
If it was viable, it would have already started happening all around sports everywhere.
Yep.
It hasn't come close to that yet, and there's a reason for that. You know,
yeah.
We, you know, guys like us, sure, we would buy that. We would jump in on it immediately and okay, great. But there's not enough of us.
Right. Again, it comes back to that casual fan, as you were talking about. They're not going to go out of their way to pay for a service that's just the Avs or just the Nuggets or whatever.
Right. It's just, it's not economically viable. What I would like to see is some numbers on that. I would, instead of them coming out and saying, just trust us, it's not viable, I do believe them. Because the entire market feels this way, and they're not feeling that way because they're out to get us. Like they feel that way because it's a great way to lose your business.
But if they show their projections,
right? Exactly. Like, I want to see something concrete where you come out and you say, okay, like show me the math on it, show me the numbers, and that's really the last source of frustration that I have with this dispute. Because in the end game, I don't know how Altitude comes out ahead. The big companies have decided that they're going to squeeze them and that they're going to play as hardball as it possibly gets in an attempt to essentially put them out of business. And if they do that, you know, one of those companies is just sitting around waiting to absorb them into the AT&T regional sports mod networks or, you know, whatever it ends up being. And then, you know, they played hardball and it became their game. And I think that's the sad end game of this. But with Nuggets season coming up soon, I just think that Altitude's got to try to find a way.
Yeah, there's no reality where Altitude doesn't have to give, right?
Right.
So something's going to have to change, whether it's they take a bad deal, they end up selling, whatever.
Yeah, and I do think that this is kind of their warning shot, right?
Yep.
Like if they come out of this relatively unscathed, you know, they come out of this and the business continues for the next several years, they need to immediately invest in looking into streaming and looking into how that's going to go, just to add that option.
Right. They can have a plan, an exit strategy, or whatever you want to call it.
Right. And I think the hard part and the biggest reason why I've been hesitant to talk about this on the podcast is this is not an area of expertise for either one of us.
Right. And certainly not an economy major or anything right. like that.
I don't know the ins and outs of what the rights deals look like with the league. I don't know what streaming looks like. I don't know why blackout restrictions exist. I don't know why the blackout restriction haven't been lifted to accommodate a market that currently is almost essentially blacked out anyway of its own games. I don't know any of those things. And so we've been hesitant to get into this topic on the pod because we try to be well-versed on what we're talking about instead of wandering around in the dark, taking random stabs and telling you how we feel and not dealing in the world of fact.
Yeah. Always an awkward position to be in, but
yeah,
it's kind of a good transition here. As we talk about billionaires worried about their money, who else wants to make some money? The answer to that question is everyone. Everybody wants to make money. God knows I want to make money. Well, there's a much easier way to add a few bucks to your wallet here in Denver. Denver's newest travel hack is here. Drift shares locally owned cars with incoming travelers at Denver Airport for a better experience than car rental. Skip the chaos to save on time and fees when you book. Or you can share your car to earn and park for free while you travel. Plus, there's no under 25 fee rule, so it's perfect for friends coming to visit. Drift is great if you're going home for break and perfect for extended travel, like a semester abroad, for example. Allstate Insurance covers your car every trip, and Drift cleans it inside and out. That's right. Even if your car isn't rented out while you travel, Drift will still clean your car upon your arrival. Get all the info on drivedrift.com. That's drivedrift.com. Second segment of the DNVR Avalanche podcast with Rudo and AJ. Might not be able to watch the game, but it's still going to happen tonight as I continue to lose my voice. Boston versus Colorado in the can. I've been kind of calling it the first real test for the Avs. Boston comes in undefeated as well. Do you expect a good game?
Always.
Yeah.
These are two really good teams.
Good to hear.
So, I think you know, two undefeated teams. I think there's only seven left in the NHL. And two of them are going to play tonight. So, one must fall.
True.
Honestly, and we talked about, hey, if the Avs got off to a 3-1 start in their first four home games, that would be a very good start.
Yep.
They're 2/3 of the way there. So get a win tonight, and this is a successful homestand no matter what. And gives you a chance to go 4-0 Saturday night when Arizona comes to town and really get off to a good start with a very difficult 6-game road trip coming up. So tonight it is going to be a big test. Arguably the best team on their schedule at this point is Boston. You know, I mean, in the first three games anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel like we've been talking about this game for a week.
Because
kind of have been. I don't know what else there is to say. The big matchups are obvious. We've talked about them. Barbario's in the lineup. Wilson's in the lineup. We'll see how those guys do and if they warrant staying in the lineup.
I did want to touch on the matchups a little bit. Do you expect the Bednar to go best on best here? They do have last change at home.
100%.
Yeah, not even mess around with that Belmar and Calvert, try to shut things down a little bit.
Not unless they were coming off of any kind of a special team situation.
Yeah.
That would be the only one where I might try and get cute. But other than that, best on best, baby. You've got you believe that you have one of the best in the league? Go and do it.
Fair enough. Working with Barbs specifically. Obviously, the timeline is still unclear on how much practice Ian Cole needs to be ready to really be considered game ready. But this is an opportunity for Barbs. Is there anything he can do to find himself a permanent roster spot? Can he beat out Graves, or is it just kind of he's the seventh D here?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the more you play well, the more you make a case to continue to play at all.
Very true.
You know, we are in a world where Ian Cole's getting set to return.
Yep.
And so you've got to have it. You've got to have it now. This is no longer there's going to be a rotation for 10 to 20 games until he comes back. This is Mark Barbario might get one shot, and that one shot might be tonight.
Yeah.
To prove that he stays in the lineup until a guy plays his way out of the lineup. And given, like we talked about yesterday, given the top five, when Cole gets back, given the top five,
yep,
there's really only one guy that he can hope plays his way out of a lineup spot moving forward. And that's not great odds. So,
no.
You know, you always want to be able to just control what you can control. Go in there and he's going to be in the lineup tonight. Go and play at the absolute highest level that he can play at. And if he does that, then he's made absolutely the best case he can for coming back. If he doesn't do that, then he opens up the door for going right back to the bench.
Is it the exact same story with Colin Wilson on the other side, assuming Compher's injuries are all minor day-to-day stuff?
A little less so, just because I think he's earned more trust in the past.
Yeah.
A more proven player. And especially in this organization, has been a top nine forward for them the last 2 years in playoff runs.
True.
You know, and Barbario was a much bigger part of this team 2 years ago than last year and then again today. So I think Wilson, a good game from Wilson, obviously. Again, you play well, you force decisions that way. But with Wilson, there's also other factors. You know, there's more spots, more unsure spots that I think.
Yeah.
And then just a better NHL player.
In general, he's certainly more proven as an NHL regular, we'll put it that way.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how much the Avs are really looking for offense right now. They have 9 goals in 2 games. But
got to keep it up.
Yeah. If you have a drop-off there, that's where I think things get curious, because the 3 skaters that don't have a point are EJ, Kadri, and Jost. And, you know, barring catastrophe from Jost, none of them are ever getting scratched.
Right.
So you'd be replacing at least a little bit of production with anyone sticking in the lineup.
Yeah. The forwards, I think it's all higher end.
Yeah.
Even with, you know, if with Wilson and Kamenev is like your scratches, I think that it's just a higher end. The defense, I think, falls off quickly. Because I think Zadorov is a third pairing defenseman. I think Cole is a third pairing defenseman, like good third pairing defenseman, but third pairing defenseman. And I think at this point, EJ is probably a second pairing guy.
Yeah.
In terms of effectiveness, not in terms of like,
if you're building a cup contender, EJ is your number 3.
Yeah. And you want to see Gerard and Makar take major steps forward to taking over those jobs.
Yeah.
Full time. Like, full stop, let those guys be your real horses moving forward. But it's still a development cycle here. It's still happening.
Right. It doesn't just, you wake up one day and you're a number one defenseman. Unless you're right. Rasmus Dahlin, I guess. But
oh, well, I mean, he was really good last year, really underrated last year. And for him to, he's going to be amazing.
Yeah. I mean, the way he started this year is...
Yeah, he's just going to be amazing.
That's okay. I'll stick with Cale Makar.
Yeah, I mean, no, I mean, the Avs didn't really have a shot at him.
Right.
So, you know, it would have been different had Colorado not protected that pick and they'd been in that lottery with Buffalo, you know, and they had the Ottawa pick and,
yep,
you know, all of that had happened. They would have, you know, my gosh, could you imagine? Imagine this team with a Dahlin or a Svechnikov.
Yeah, that would be truly something crazy.
It's kind of like when we talk about imagine this team with like a Hughes or a Kako, where you're just
right,
like,
oh, exactly.
Good Lord.
Which Hughes, by the way, starting really slow, but
that doesn't surprise me. We've never seen a guy make the USHL NHL leap before. So
right. And he's a guy on the smaller side anyway.
Yeah.
So the physicality difference there is just massive.
Yeah, we always said that this could be a real rough ride for him in year one.
Yep.
I haven't heard much about Kako either.
I haven't either, actually.
Yeah, no points in 2 games.
So, both of them. Easy
clearly, clearly a bust.
Makar straight to the Calder. Easy life.
Yeah, well, Quinn Hughes scored his first goal last night, so now Makar's chasing
gotta
him.
Respond. Well, yeah, I mean, the Rangers don't need Kako right now because Mika Zibanejad is apparently an MVP.
Oh, my God. What a start.
Right? 8 points in 2 games. That's otherworldly.
Yeah, that's a hot streak. I mean, he could go 2 weeks now without scoring another point. He'd still be a point per game player.
Yeah. I mean, getting to start the season against Winnipeg and Ottawa doesn't hurt.
Yeah, those are 2 pretty questionable defensive groups.
But still, to put up 8 points in two games at any point in the season, let alone starting like that, is quite a feat.
Yeah, I mean, 8 points in two, that's a ton of points, man.
Well, it was Gagne, right, who had that seven-point game that year?
Yeah.
8 point. Yeah, and that was like 40% of his scoring.
It ended up being a large chunk of his production that year.
Okay. We're getting a little bit off topic here, but...
Yeah, I mean, what topics do we have? They've got nothing going on. They haven't even... They're taking days off of practice because they've already got guys that are hurting. And we've got 5 days in between games. Like, now it's game day and when there's still nothing going on. Nothing happened today. It's... Y'all need to get your schedule figured out so that our podcast can have stuff to talk about.
I'm saying.
I am excited for Jost at 3C tonight, just to see how it works out.
Right. See if he still excels in that center position. Right. That's something we can talk about in segment three, as we got to take a quick break here, because you know what's so great about our DNVR family? Even when we have nothing to talk about on our podcast, we now have multiple subscribers that have partnered with us to help promote their business. Chad with Houselift has an incredible service for you. If you or your friends are thinking about selling your house, but it's not in tip-top condition, go to houselift.com. They'll show you how to maximize your profit. If your house is in need of an upgrade, Houselift can assist with that as well, and they'll eliminate all the stress of the remodeling process while matching current trends that buyers most desire. And get this, there are zero upfront costs from you, the homeowner. That's right, you won't pay for any of the upfront costs for the remodel until your house closes. Houselift will handle everything from the contractors to the design while managing all of the costs. Here's what you need to do. Head to their website or Facebook page. You can find both at houseliftcolorado.com and check out the incredible remodels Houselift has done for other homeowners here in the metro area. In past jobs, Houselift has put anywhere from $15,000 to $60,000 more in their clients' pockets. Call 303-885-7888 today and find out what Houselift can do for you. Oh yeah, if you hire one of Houselift's preferred realtors, they'll sell your home without charging a listing commission. Third and final segment of the DNVR Avalanche podcast with Nathan and AJ. Tyson Jost, 3C. It's a position he has looked strong in last playoffs. It's the position he more or less ended up playing all preseason. No points as second line winger through the first two games. Is it better or worse for him to perform well at 3C tonight?
What was that? Repeat that question.
Is it better or worse for him to perform well as 3C tonight? Does he lock himself into a 3C position, or will he get another crack at second line winger?
Is the downside that he does well and...
The downside is
he becomes your 3C.
Right. The downside is he loses that opportunity to become a top six player here.
Let's see. I don't think there's a downside.
I think that's certainly a fair point to take.
Yeah. I think
good play anytime you can get it.
Exactly, man. Like the thing with Colorado is that it's been a great first two games and everybody's feeling good and, you know, life is great, right? But I just think that they still need, you know, I like their bottom six, but they still need, like, they could really use like one more, like, really high-end guy to pair with Kadri, right?
Yeah.
And whether or not that ends up being Tyson Jost, I don't know, but you'd love for that to be the case. But if he ends up being like your 3C, if you put him at 3C and he's really good, then you have a really good 3C and you don't complain about that. You know, that raises questions about what's the future for Shane Bowers, what's going on with Kamenev, you know, all the way down to, you know, what kind of role then do you envision for Alex Newhook in the future? You know, it certainly raises questions if you fill that spot, because right now it's not with Comfer. I don't think it's really filled. I think it's still a very transitive kind of position where they're very much seeking an answer.
Yeah. I mean, it is a bit interesting with Compher because he is signed to that 4-year deal. So they have committed to him, but you're right. It doesn't feel like they've committed to him locked in as a center.
Right. And like, he's like a middle six guy that can do a little of everything for you and play everywhere.
Yep.
Kind of like a Jonas Donskoy, who we're seeing that right now.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you're feeling good about that. You're comfortable with that guy. But, you know, if Jost ends up as your like 3C, if he goes out there and he just kills it, right, and he's really good, then that's fine.
Don't mess with a good thing.
Right. Like, then you have a really good 3C that you can lock in there every night and you get a good player in Tyson Jost. If he goes out there and he's mediocre and he doesn't answer any questions and Compher comes back and you just, okay, well, he didn't do anything at that spot. So now we've got to put him back up on the second line to see if we can get something out of him there. You know, it just remains the chicken and the egg problem here where he's constantly getting moved around and you're saying, well, he's not really doing anything to justify staying, but at the same time, he's constantly getting moved around and it's hard for guys, some guys to settle in when they're being bounced around every couple of games.
Yeah, certainly you want to provide at least some form of consistency.
Yeah, you want some stability for the guy and let him get his get a, you know, let him play 15 minutes a night doing the same thing every night.
Yeah, exactly. It's when you give him a solid role and he understands exactly what is asked of him to do, it becomes a lot easier to have something specific to work on and improve on instead of one night you're doing one thing, the next night you're doing something completely different.
Exactly. And you're doing it with different line mates and you're doing different time on ice and you're getting different situations. You know, there's just inconsistency there. Some guys can thrive off of chaos like that, and those guys obviously make your life as a coach much easier. You know, other guys, and I think we've seen this with Jost, other guys need to get a job and they need to be told, hey, this is what you're going to do today, and then they need to be able to do that job multiple times.
Again, I think every other pod, at least, we talk about consistency as the key to being an NHL player, and it's very, very hard to be a Donskoy or a Compher. It requires a very specific set of skills to be able to get dropped in anywhere and do the thing that you do.
Right, and that's why those guys are always so valuable.
Exactly. So you can't expect every player, every prospect to be that guy. You need to give them guidelines to work with, whether that's consistent line mates, consistent role, whatever it may be. We did get one question on our last podcast from Sickert, who asks if we have plans for ways that remote fans can join in on some fun by doing things like watch parties. Right now, we tentatively have a plan to watch the Wednesday night rivalry game against Pittsburgh because that game is nationally broadcast, so we can actually watch it.
Yeah, that's still a local party, though.
Oh, that's true. It is local. For non-local people, you can get NHL TV. Obviously, that costs money. Significant chunk of change to buy that. But you won't be blocked out. So,
yeah, and like getting in on, like, I'm not sure, because I read this and I thought about it and I was like, I'm just not sure how we can cater that kind of fun. You know, the interactive stuff. When I'm on the road, if I'm on the road in a city and somebody hits me up and says, hey, I'm at the game tonight, are you here? And I say, yeah, I'm here. And they say, oh my gosh, I'd love to meet you. Let's go get a beer afterward or whatever. I do that pretty regularly. But outside of that, like, I don't know how we would have like a, I don't know how we would do a watch party with people in other cities without, you know, watch parties are about getting everybody together in a room and watching the game together, and they score and you go around and you high five a bunch of people you've never met before. And then you make friends with those people because you guys all care about the Avalanche. And that's how it goes. I mean, we had a bunch of people last year who came to a handful of our watch parties, met each other, ended up becoming pals, and then, you know, hung out at all of our subsequent watch parties. That's how, that's kind of the whole point of it. When it comes to non-locals, I'd love to do something. I mean, I would absolutely love to make everybody feel like, hey, we've got something planned. I'm just not sure how to go about it. I'm totally open to suggestion.
I have a bit of an idea here, and we'll have to work out the logistics of it and whether it's worth it to do this, because I'm just simply not sure how many people are interested in it. But plenty of other YouTube channels do live reaction shows where I just set up my webcam and broadcast myself, not the game. And so it's just a camera of me sitting there and then interacting with chat as the game develops.
I mean, we could do that. We could, instead of, you know, waiting until post game, because we want to start doing the live post game stuff.
Yeah.
From the office, you know, from the new studio that we have set up for that. We could just watch the game live, you know, since I won't be on this first road trip, this first leg of this first road trip. We might be able to, maybe we could do something like that, you know, where we set that up
and, from the studio or something.
Yeah. And then like in between periods or on commercial break or whatever, we catch up with chat and we interact with people as we go. You know, you and I we're talking about the game. It's kind of like a live podcast, honestly.
Exactly. Right. So definitely something I've wanted to look into and something we'll consider for people not in the local area. Not going to make any promises yet because obviously logistics and still need to be sorted out, but
yeah,
something that we want to do. One final question, not from anybody in particular, just from me. Who scores a goal first? Nathan MacKinnon, Matt Duchene, or Ryan O'Reilly?
Well, who plays first tonight?
I don't actually know when Nashville or St. Louis play. Let's look.
St. Louis has a 5:30 start. Nashville has a 6 start. And the Avs have a 7 start.
The Avs are the latest.
So Colorado has the disadvantage there.
If you want to do it that way, though, both Duchene and O'Reilly have already played 3 games.
Because I think MacKinnon scores tonight. He loves to raise the bar when pushed.
Yeah.
You know, somebody says, oh, the best is coming in, and Nathan MacKinnon looks around and he's like, what you talking about? I've been here the whole time.
Yeah, so just kind of an interesting stat I noticed in the Central Division there that all 3 of those guys didn't have any goals.
All 3 of Colorado's should-be centers.
Yeah, exactly. Then on the flip side, Patrick Laine leads the Central in scoring, so.
Well,
that bridge deal is going to get pretty expensive if he plays like this.
Which, I mean, that's great for Winnipeg. Like, that's the best case scenario is that he doesn't have another year like last year where you're just like, what happened here? And he goes out and he just dominates. And we see, you know, the player that we saw previously, especially that second year where it was like, oh, my God, this guy's going to take over. Who has the better shot, him or Matthews?
I mean, I think he has a better shot for sure.
Because I saw on Twitter a few days ago, people were talking about Austin Matthews having the greatest shot in NHL history.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
And I was like, whew, that is a spicy take.
I mean, he has a great shot, but the greatest in NHL history.
They were comparing his shot to Sakic's.
Is this strictly wrist shot then?
In Matthew's case, it was. That's what they were.
Because, like, clearly Ovi's going to win that if you're talking about the one-timer.
Yeah, I would say that for sure. And the backhand, it's been Crosby forever, but I think Colorado might have a guy that...
Mika's pretty good with that thing.
Yeah, he's starting to use it a lot more. And as that happens...
People are going to notice.
Yeah, I think he might start to climb that leaderboard. I saw that the other day and I was like, whew. Hockey is definitely back. We are hearing this.
The hot takes are coming in hot and heavy.
Yeah, I mean, Austin Matthews has always been a hot starter at the beginning of seasons, but hot enough to start talking about him as the having the greatest shot of all time?
You can miss me with that. I'll tell you that much.
That's something, man. I mean, that is. Anyway.
Yeah, that's going to do it for us here. We managed to make it through. Thankfully, the Avs do play hockey after so many days off tonight, so we'll have something.
I guess it's going to be the easiest one we do in right. a long time.
Exactly. Just rattle off of what actually happened with the Avs.
So. It'll be like that one day of rookie camp before they left for Anaheim where we were like, they were on the ice. We have stuff to talk about.
Always nice when they actually get on the ice and do things.
That was a perfect rhyme. You should have just left it at that. Always nice when they get on the ice.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that doesn't rhyme with Vita Mobile IV, so I couldn't quite make it work. But I highly recommend you check out Vita Mobile IV. I totally forgot about it, but I should have used it after MPJ played the other night. I started that game trying to keep up with DNVR Nuggets' plan of chugging beers every time MPJ does something, and I regretted it a little bit. But if you're in a situation like that, definitely get on the train, use Vita Mobile IV. They will really come through for you. Vita Mobile IV comes to your home, your office, your dorm room, or wherever you need some serious hydration. Vita Mobile IV is made up of professionals passionate about preventative health and the benefits of IV therapy and alternative medicine. Recover and recharge with Vita Mobile IV. Download their app today, request a skilled IV drip therapist, sit back and relax because they come to you. Don't forget to use promo HYD20 and save 20% off your first IV drip. Visit VitaMobileIV.com today to learn more or just download their app and book your appointment. That's HYD20 to save 20%.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.